This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Imagine being on a trail, the air thick with heat, your family beside you, and then without warning, it happens. A man, a knife, a silence broken only by your screams and your kids running away. And the only words that escape your mouth in those final moments, why are you doing this? That line has haunted me since I first heard it. Not because it's dramatic, but because it's human. It tells us something, or maybe nothing. We don't know. But today we're trying to unpack that moment and everything around it. This episode goes deeper than the timeline. We're asking hard questions about behavior, motive, psychology, and yes, preparation. We now know the suspect walked that trail wearing black gloves, layered clothing in 100-degree heat, and carrying a gear bag so large it looked designed to hide evidence before the crime even happened. This wasn't spontaneous. This wasn't heat of the moment. This was calculated. But what we still don't know is, was it personal? Joining me again is Robin Dreek, former head of the FBI's Behavioral Analysis Program for Counterintelligence. And in this segment, we're looking at the actions, the silence, the attack pattern, the speed of the escape, and that one haunting phrase, why are you doing this? Was that a moment of shock? Or did you know him? Was he hunting someone specific or just waiting for the right moment and the right level of vulnerability? Was this targeted or practiced? We also talk about the escape, his vehicle, the loud exhaust, the erratic driving, the fact that people describe the sound of his car before they ever saw him. That's not someone disappearing into the shadows. That's someone broadcasting chaos. And with all of that in play, his preparation, his silence, the rapid disappearance, what does that say about this killer's mindset, his motive, his readiness? And what does it say about what he might do next? Let's get into it. You try to put yourself in that situation for just a second and go, okay, if this was happening to me, and I mean, it's a very hard one to do unless you're actually there in that moment in time, to know what exactly one would be thinking if this is happening. And I don't know if I personally would be yelling, why are you doing this? I think there would be a lot of stop. I think there'd be a lot of, almost trying to attack the attacker. And I'm in no way, shape, or form trying to criticize his mom whatsoever. I am not. I'm just trying to figure out the why are you doing this? Because that does seem a little intimate. It intimates somewhat of a personal, or at least an identification possibly, of who that person is. I could be completely wrong. It could just be what was uttered out of her mouth in a moment of utter chaos and shock and trauma.
Right.
Or it could lead to something. The kids, obviously, as we learned here exclusively, that they said to the dispatcher they thought it was a stranger. They didn't know who this was. Mm-hmm. The most heartbreaking line of all of that from the dispatcher who we talked to was the fact that the children said that they ran until they couldn't hear their mother's cries anymore.
Right.
And thankfully, they were taken up by a good Samaritan who was on the trail and got them to the ranger station to which they called 911. But what does it mean when a killer leaves the children alive but executes the parents without a word? Quite often you see things like this where they're going to take out the parents and then try and get the kids. It seems the kids might have been an afterthought here because he didn't chase after them. He took out the parents and then left the park, basically, in quite a rush.
Or he's incapable of chasing the kids again without the context of being there. Yeah. It sounds like they did a good job of getting away as he's preoccupied. I mean, so when you're attacking someone who doesn't want to be attacked with a knife, it's going to take a few minutes, especially if you're upright, you're moving, he's defending himself. You have a wife that's most likely just not being a bystander, is probably trying to get him off her, mm-hmm. I mean, off her husband, as you're then screaming at the kids. And so there's a lot of moving parts there, and it takes a lot of energy on someone on a hot day, overdressed, heat, sweating, and all that. So as the kids are moving fast and with a purpose out of fear, fight or flight's kicking in, his ability to then chase them down at that point, you're now aware of, he might be more aware of what's going on in the environment. So he's now in getaway mode. Mm-hmm. The fact he's not saying anything, he was very clear in his mind what he was going to do and his reasoning for do it, because he's not responding to the inquiry. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this? You know, so it wasn't, it just makes it very curious. And again, like we said, you, from that statement alone, you can't determine whether she, at least I can't from thinking hard about this, whether she knew him or didn't know him, but she definitely was not aware of the reason for the interaction. The fact that the kids didn't recognize him, I'm not taking that as anything except, all right, so he's not an intimate family connection. It might be just, like I said, a work connection that his wife might be aware of or unaware of. I tried to place myself in our good active empathy role that we sometimes do of what would I have said, what some of the things you could have said in that situation is, and that the other thing that came to mind besides why are you doing this is, we can talk about this. Mm-hmm. You know, so which would give an intimation of she had a clue about what this might have been about. But my first impression from that statement is I don't think she's aware, whether she's aware of who he is or not, she's not aware of the reason for his actions.
Yeah.
Again, that's what we call a wag, a wild ass guess.
The technical term of it, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But I'm thinking that's what my head is kind of saying on this one.
And the other interesting note here is he had not started his job yet here. He was about to start on Monday of this week. Mm-hmm. He had not been employed, so it really doesn't make room for, you know, angry coworkers or anything of that, because he had not yet interacted locally here. But we do know he worked for another, I believe from what I understand, and I cannot confirm it, I believe it was the same company in Montana. This is a subsidiary here that he had been transferred to. It wasn't necessarily, as far as we understand, a promotion, but more of a lateral move. And why they wanted to come here, we do not know the answer to that question as of yet. But that's another factor in here. Montana's a long ways away from Northwest Arkansas. So if you got a grudge from some your coworker or whatever, we're talking like, you know, 14 to 20 hour trip if you're going to drive this to get down here and target out your man. We are a very big hiking community, very outdoorsy, which, you know, a lot of Montana is as well. So I guess you do have somewhat of a connection there. If this is someone from the past that would be familiar with the outdoors or able to navigate it a bit, if that's from the area that they're from, but we still don't know the answers to either of those questions as of yet.
Yeah. And I've been trying to do, as you and I've talked beforehand too, I've been trying to do a deep dive of the company itself to kind of see again, what kind of spiking, what might be a data point we can kind of zero in on. Not getting much. Except, you know, I did read, again, it's very light, you know, that there's potential employment issues with people being laid off in the past. Again, so moving from another location, taking up a job here, if there's a probability or possibility of it being work-related, the only thing that's really popping in my mind is a possibility to explore would be, did he bump someone else out of a job when he showed up that was expecting to start work that he took the job place of, and someone goes from 0 to 100 with, you know, horrible problem solving skills to take care of it or prevent, you know, so there's, again, you're not getting a lot of data, but when I did a deep dive on the company with the only data point we have, you know, the only thing I'm coming up with is a possibility to not say it is, but to rule out is that, someplace, not personally, but the individual might have known of this guy taking his position he wanted or was applying for, so he's angry.
That's an interesting look. Yeah, I mean, I've been in those sort of situations. I think we all maybe have at some point in time where you get the job, somebody that wanted it didn't get it, and yeah, they're angry. I've never been in a situation where I'm fearing they're going to stalk me down on a day I'm hiking with my family, but there's some nuts out there that could certainly go that far. It just leaves so many questions, and it's a lot of conjecture. And I want to say this because a lot of the reporting that we've done here has come from you guys out there who've reached out and said, hey, I know this, and here's how, and here's why, and we've been able to verify and go with it. So we're not trying to speculate or spread rumors or anything like that. This is all just conjecture as we try to break this down. But if anyone does have conclusive answers to any of this and can help us right the ship or just define the path of the map that we're going on. And that would be extremely helpful. You can certainly contact us. True Crime Today Pod is where you can find us and you can give us your feedback. There's a contact us and give us some insight if you're able to correct anything. Because right now it is fog of war. This is very early on in this investigation. And the last thing I tell you I want to do here is be saying things that are somebody's going to run with and go, this must be true. Because obviously none of this we're saying is fact. So the sooner we can get to fact here and present that to the audience, to you guys, the better. So anybody who knows any of the answers to this question, we would love to hear from you.
Because, and as you said, Tony, and just flesh that a little bit more too, and that's why I was really careful at the very beginning, is to rule out the data points we have by fleshing out the probabilities of things. And so the more data points you have, which is observations, thoughts, opinions, but really facts and data details, it helps us keep painting that picture. And right now we have so little that you don't, that you go into the conjecture world, not to say what it is, but to try to rule out what it isn't. And so, because again, when you don't have much, all you can do is look on past experience, probabilities, to say it, there's a possibility from past experience this could be it. So let's do all we can to rule that out so we can move on to something else, or we'll flesh out it actually is that.
I agree. So again, if anybody has any information, truecrimetodaypod.com is a website. Go to contact us. You can reach out that way. That's probably one of the easiest, or through any of our social media channels. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski and send me a direct message and let me know, and we can conversate off the air about anything that you may know. Let's talk about this angle of it. Based on what we know, this man, he executed, he fled immediately, and as far as we know as of right now, has not resurfaced. By the time you're watching this, there may be some more developments. What does it tell you about his psychological state post-crime? He got out of there in a hurry. People in that park, that's how they identified there's something off with this guy. Some even said that they saw blood on him, and it's been very gray fog of war area to say where that blood was. Was it on his hands? Did he cut himself? Right. That's kind of up in the air. Or was it the victim's blood? But he sped out of there as fast as he could. The video that we obtained here exclusively at True Crime Today shows him speeding out of the park. That dash cam or that that security footage shows a residence just outside of the park going about 60 to 70 miles an hour straight out of there. And then others also reporting a very somewhat erratic or speeding driver in the area at that point in time. What does that say about this? Is him fleeing in that sort of manner? If you're, I don't know, if you're going to carry out an attack like this, again, I would think you're going to be not wanting to stand out, but obviously that was not on his list from the very beginning before the attacks either with his clothing.
Low reps. Yeah. And something that really strikes me is he's got low reps in doing this type of thing. And two reasons. One, it looks like an extremely distinctive car with its look, its sound. I mean, the fact that people can really recall exactly what they heard and saw with the vehicle says a lot. Putting tape over the license plate is a very, very rudimentary, basic, but effective thing so far, because they weren't able to run a license plate and get a name ID off of it. But here's the other thing I'm thinking of too with that is, all right, so if he had committed any kind of crimes in the past where he's got a lengthy or even a substantial rap sheet or even a one or two off rap sheet, that car is going to be very distinctive to him, and cops are going to be able to zero it in on, especially if he's local in any sort of way, small areas, small departments, not a whole lot of sworn. So they're going to be able to recognize that car regardless if it had been on their radar in the past. And so most likely, again, if he's thinking, he's thinking that, you know, he wasn't thinking much about that car. And so because the car hasn't been an issue for him in the past, which means he most likely hasn't done something to this scale. He might have a rap sheet because it's hard to go from zero to 100, zero to murder. But nothing that's ever involved his vehicle before, but if it has, which is a probability, boy, that was a really stupid move to use that same car to do exactly this. His speed, again, that goes towards that low reps. You know, you don't want to stand out any more than you have, but he was fleeing for, he hit fight or flight after this, no doubt.
There's a reason that one line, why are you doing this, hits so hard. It's not just a question, it's a confession. A confession that in that moment, even in the chaos, she was still trying to understand why this was happening. And that tells us something. It tells us she didn't know, or maybe she did, but if she did, the why still wasn't obvious. That's the line we're walking in this investigation, the territory between random and personal, between targeted and opportunistic. What Robin pointed out with clarity is this. The killer's behavior doesn't suggest impulse, it suggests planning. The gloves, the outfit, the bag, the covered plates, that's not rage, that's rehearsal. But what's fascinating and terrifying is how sloppy it also was. He was dressed for DNA control, but stood out like a sore thumb. He carried a bag big enough to hide a crime scene, but left behind witnesses who described his exact movements and possibly even his voice. And that escape? 60, 70 miles an hour down a back road with a roaring exhaust and zero attempt to blend in? That's not confidence, that's panic. That's someone in fight or flight. And that's where the real behavioral clues start to emerge. As Robin said, this guy didn't have reps. He wasn't practiced, but he was committed. That's a dangerous combination because it means he may not stop here. If he feels empowered by this, by getting away, he might try again. He might not leave anyone alive the next time. So now it's up to the people closest to the case, witnesses, coworkers, neighbors, to notice the behavior that doesn't line up. The resentment, the displacement, the quiet guy who suddenly knows too much about Devil's Den or asks a little too often if the cops have a suspect yet. Because as Robin said, motive may not make sense to us, but it made sense to him. And somewhere in the past, be it personal, professional, or completely delusional, is the reason that this family was destroyed. We'll keep digging, and if you've got something, let us know. Reach out. You can reach us on social media. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi or go to our website, True Crime Today Pod, and there's a contact section there. Because silence got us here. We're not staying quiet. There is more to come. Let us know in the comment section on YouTube what your thoughts are on this case. If you're not already there, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Do the same search over on podcast platforms so you don't miss any of our coverage either on YouTube or wherever you download podcasts. My name is Tony Bruschi, and we will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.